The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine, the show that teaches you how to survive the stuff that can kill you.
Like a worldwide pandemic, or a bull stampede, or delivering a baby.
And the stuff that just makes you wish you were dead.
Like having a pimple on picture day, or pooping on a table, or driving cross country with a baby.
No. I just say no to that.
XXX.
Cross that off my list. You know what? Can we just get to the theme
song? Let's play the song.
Ground is shaking under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Gobbling down Xanax ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna survive.
Welcome to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. I'm Danielle.
Hey, and I'm Christine.
How's it going, Chris?
It's never been the same.
It's never been the same. Ever. Mm-mm. Every time, every moment is different.
You're right.
Did you have a rough night?
I had a very rough night.
Okay. I would never say this. Yeah. I know I can say it to you because you're my friend. You do look a little tired.
Well, I'm very tired. I'll tell you what happened.
Okay.
I met up with our friend of the show, guest of the show, Jesse Gaskell, yesterday. For a little creativity meeting. That's what we call it in the business.
Is that when you drink? What does that mean? What is a creativity meeting?
Well, we're just kind of collaborating on a little thing right now.
Okay, good.
I was like, I'm not going to have any more coffee. It's 2:30, you know, and so.
In the afternoon.
Yeah. I'm going to have a tea. So I got a tea. She had a tea, and I said, oh, that sounds good. Moroccan mint, yes. Well, that's like apparently the crack cocaine of teas.
I would have thought Moroccan mint would have been an herbal tea, no caffeine.
Correct, me too. So last night, I read before I go to bed. I read a little bit. And then I was like, well, I'm tired. It's late. I've probably been reading a while. I'm going to go to bed. And then I had a really hard time falling asleep. And I think I kind of dozed off a little bit. And then I was awake because my dog is like a person who also sleeps in our bed and right up against me. And then I can't bend my legs.
Oh.
And at some point I heard somebody moving and I was like, oh, Alex is up. And so I got up, went and got in her bed because she was with Benjamin. And I was like too hot in our bed. And my heart was pounding in my chest like I'd done like three lines of cocaine. It was like bum, 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 bum.
That's the worst.
And it was, 2:33 in the morning. And then I just was laying there. Lying there?
Oh, don't. You know what? I don't know.
I don't even know.
I'm going to tell you something.
Tell me.
I don't think I was ever taught.
I don't think I was ever taught.
I have since been taught, but I can't retain it.
Grammar's an issue for me.
Yeah.
I have to use Grammarly. And people who read the newsletter are probably going to catch mistakes.
What is Grammarly, an app?
Yeah, you can pay for. I've definitely paid when I was in grad school getting a master's degree. I paid for Grammarly because I was like turning in, papers I'd written on.
But what is it?
It it helps you with grammar when you writing it. You can plug your stuff into Grammarly. They should be a sponsor because
You plug it into Grammarly and then it tells you if something's wrong.
And you can also connect it to your emails. It checks all my emails you can copy paste whatever you're doing in Word with your email. You don't have to copy paste it. It just checks your emails for you. Additionally, than what. Your email already does for you, maybe it's an extra step, so it checks your grammar and it'll even say this sentence is a little clunky.
I mean, my Word app does that as well.
This does above and beyond. Okay. And there's a free version and there's a paid version, and I paid for the paid version because I'm like, I wasn't a very good student in high school. I missed a lot of school.
Uh-huh.
And I think they were like, okay.
Creative meetings.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, a lot of creative meetings, drinking a lot of tea.
Yeah.
And there was a Moroccan mint. It was something else then.
Same name, a little different vibe.
Yeah, it came in baggies.
Yeah.
And you know what? I know there was grammar was taught.
Yes.
I think I had a hard time getting it then. It was a lot of boring sentence diagramming. Yeah. And I still struggle with it.
I still struggle with parts too.
Yours is much better than mine, I'll say that. And it's embarrassing, you know, it's embarrassing. Yeah. And I really struggled in grad school because, you know, or even learning a foreign language, like trying to learn German. Oh my God, because it's all about.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say, which was that when I was in high school and learning French, mm-hmm. and I remember going, oh, that's what a past participle whatever
yes
is, whatever it was. I remember like, oh, I don't think I learned this in English.
Yes,
because
it's important
all
to know
feels
it.
Very new. Yeah, but I knew that I was supposed to have learned it.
It's all this agreement between right. verbs and
direct objects. Yeah.
And Sven would try to explain this to me while he's helping me with German, and I'm like, honey, I don't know this.
Explain
in English.
It in English,
like,
first. Yeah,
I don't
exactly
get it.
Yeah,
I never got this in school. Yeah. Like, I don't know what. Did I just miss that entire year?
Yeah, I have definite blind spots with that kind of stuff. And I usually just avoid if it's lay or lie, I just go,
just in my writing,
prone.
I'll just use a different word. I'll be
that's
like,
what I'm saying,
I'll just use a different word because I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to. And I've tried to learn it in my adult life. With, you know, like, eats shoots and leaves. That's
yes.
a very sort of user-friendly. Yeah. And I still am like, I can't. It's like trying to read about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
It doesn't matter how many times you read it.
I'll be like, I can't. My brain does not have the ability to absorb this.
I know. I could not feel you more about those things.
That makes me feel better.
Yes.
I'm not alone in this.
I try and I try with both those things. I have some grasp of each of those things, but they are very tenuous at best, if that's the right word.
No, I think it is. Well, I think it's like we probably speak correctly most of the time.
Right. It's the writing. Yeah.
And does this happen to you? We've talked about this before, but I'll say a word that I know only from reading.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, inchoate?
Oh, yeah.
I've only ever seen this in a book.
Right.
That happens to me as well.
Yeah, I've gotten called out on that.
On the show.
Twice.
I mean, on Never Not Funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember what the words were?
One of them was inevitable.
Okay.
I would say inevitable.
That's funny.
Which I then saw that as a joke and something. That,
yes.
That whole thing happened to somebody on some show.
It does seem absurd that you wouldn't know it was inevitable. That's not an obscure word.
It isn't. And the other one was vehemently.
Okay.
But I said vehemently.
I love that. That's very endearing to me as a person who's mispronounced a lot of words in my life.
So irrespective of nothing, I saw a movie you might not think I would go see.
I can't wait.
I saw Megan.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Was it fun?
It was so fun.
Was it fun because you laughed where you weren't supposed to, or was it fun because
it's
actually fun?
It's totally, everything is very intentional.
Okay.
Jimmy and I had an afternoon date. We went to go see it.
Yeah.
It's not scary. It's not like, I was a little worried because I don't like scary movies.
Right.
It's not scary at all. And also, there's not one original thing in the entire movie. You have seen this movie 100 times.
Yeah.
You've seen it in the 1950s as a Twilight Zone.
Okay.
You have seen, I mean, there's nothing original about it.
Okay.
But it all works.
Okay.
And now, Garen, I'm going to ask you this question because I see that there is a queer love for this movie, and I'm trying to figure out why, what that's about.
I think it's just the camp of it.
It's just because it's campy.
Because there's no, I don't think there's any even gay characters in the movie.
No.
So who are they latching onto? I guess just Megan.
Her. I mean, first of all, okay. I want that outfit. 100% I want that outfit. No joke. Like, I would wear
that. She's in a Peter Pan collar, right?
She's wearing a bow, and she might have a Peter Pan collar. And then she also has, like, this kind of jacket that goes over it sometimes. Okay. And, it's just weird enough that it just totally works.
Yes.
And it's just, you liked it, right?
Yeah.
It's just super fun.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just fun. It's ridiculous. Yes.
But not for my kids, I assume.
I mean, I don't know what level. I mean, when Oliver was that age, he had some friends who would watch scary things. I don't know.
Okay. I think, Benjamin probably could handle it, but not Alex, I would say.
I mean, just the idea of a doll or, you know, like a robot doll is scary to, it could be scary to certain kids. So I don't know. Maybe you don't want to try it, but there's nothing that actually happens. I mean, yeah, there's some violence, obviously, but it's more creepy than it is scary.
I'm not going to take them, but I think we could have fun seeing it.
But it was really fun.
Definitely not any worse than Stranger Things, I don't think.
Okay.
In terms except scares. That if, do they still have dolls? They still have dolls, right?
Not
or stuffed animals.
They do, but they're put away. Oh, okay. They're not really.
All right.
Have you guys seen The Menu?
I really want to, and I haven't seen it yet.
It's wonderful.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It's fun.
Did you see it too?
We just watched it, and I really delighted in, especially Nicholas Hoult.
Yes.
Is a real gift in that movie, I thought. And it made me want to watch The Great. Is that what it's called, The Great?
Yeah, I've watched it off and on.
Okay.
I really like him and I really like her, Dakota Fanning, in it.
Yeah.
But something is not making me keep watching it. I can't figure out what it is because it seems like it would be right up my alley.
Okay.
It's very tongue in cheek. It's very, like, you know, over the top.
Yeah.
But he is really good. I think he's very good in it. And it's just so funny to me that he was the kid in About a Boy because
I know, I love that.
He was so pudgy.
I know. And now he's this, like,
and now he's like great,
really
looking.
Cute.
Like really, really cute.
He's perfect in this movie as just this guy you sort of realize you're on the worst date with. Like, he's such
a... Yeah, I really want to see it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay, really, I suppose, good. We should get into today's topic.
This is a podcast about movies we like. So I don't know what your rush
is. When only two of the three people have seen each movie we talk about. Just any combination of two or three people. Okay. We're going to talk about how to survive delivering a baby.
Oh, I've been there.
Yes, you have.
So
if you have dealt with a lot of these things.
Okay. Well.
So it's a little awkward. Basically, I started from the point of, like, things people are afraid of.
Okay.
And one of the things people were so afraid of was having a C-section. And I was like, why is everyone so afraid of having a C-section? So first I did a little research on C-sections.
Okay.
Which you've had, right?
Nope.
Oh, you didn't have a C-section.
No.
That's right. You told me that. That's right. I always think you did because you had twins.
Correct. A lot of women who have twins are, you know, needing to have C-sections.
Right. And I was a C-section baby, but I haven't had a C-section. Okay.
I was also a C-section baby.
Maybe it was just like the thing then.
I think it's still a big thing, but I think, it was.
It was because my brother was a C-section, and at the time, they didn't do vaginal birth after.
They didn't do cesarean.
They didn't do VBACs.
Do they now?
Yes. That's why there's a name for it, VBAC.
I thought that vaginal was a beer. Birth.
It might be both. It's very hearty beer. It's extremely salty and.
It's got a kick to it.
It does have a kick to it. But with a little lime?
Yep.
Okay. You've likely heard the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention stat that almost 33% of births are done by cesarean. But that doesn't mean you're facing a 1 in 3 chance. First-time moms who aren't carrying multiples, hit full term, and go into labor spontaneously have a C-section rate of less than 15%. According to a study in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology, which is funny because, like I told you before, everyone I know except for you has had a C-section.
Well, there are also women who are you probably know most women who are a little older. Because I think out here, women have babies a little older.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Because we're, you know, we're coastal elites.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably true. What to do? If your doctor wants to schedule a cesarean, ask about trying labor first. If the recommendation is a mid-labor surprise, discuss with your provider the benefits, risks, and alternatives. Okay. The surgery will take about 45 minutes, and your partner can almost always stay with you.
Hmm.
Not the case when we were born.
No, it was like, conk, you're out.
Yeah.
And also the men were too busy outside smoking cigarettes and watching sports.
My dad was watching himself on TV because something he was on was playing while one of us was being born. I wonder
if my dad was even at the hospital. He was probably at a bar.
Just going to wait it out. C-section is used to deliver a baby through surgical incisions made in the abdomen and uterus. Healthcare providers... Karen's going to squirm during this. Mm. I mean,
he does not know what's coming.
I know. Healthcare providers might recommend a C-section if labor isn't progressing normally, the baby is in distress, the baby or babies are in an unusual position. A C-section is the safest way to deliver babies whose feet or buttocks enter the birth canal first. Do you know what that's called?
Breech.
Very good.
Nice.
Or babies whose sides or shoulders come first. Do you know what that's called? I didn't.
No.
Transverse.
Ooh.
So they're like, coming through the side. Yeah. That's crazy.
I'm elbowing my way out of this situation.
You're carrying more than one baby.
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem with the placenta. If the placenta covers the opening of the cervix, a C-section is recommended for delivery. That's called placenta previa.
That's what my mom had.
Oh, she
me.
Oh, okay. You always got to be a problem.
Yeah, well, I started that way.
Prolapsed umbilical cord. A C-section might be recommended if a loop... This freaked me out. If a loop of umbilical cord slips through the cervix in front of the baby.
Mm.
Like a velvet rope at a club.
Yes,
the baby's got to break through that.
That's a VIP baby.
Yeah. Baby's got to show ID. There's a health... There's a health concern. A C-section might be recommended for women with certain health issues, such as heart or brain condition. There's a blockage, a large fibroid blocking the birth canal, a pelvic fracture, or a baby who has a condition that can cause the head to be unusually large.
Oh, man. Poor large head baby.
I know.
What a little cutie, though.
I see so many of those cuties with the little helmets on to reshape their heads.
Alex had the helmet.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that now.
Yep.
And it's just because, like, the head comes out misshapen?
It's really common with twins because they're kind of shoved. You know, they don't have as much space.
Yeah.
So oftentimes one of them will have a little bit of a flat head on the back.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, that's just supposed to help so they don't have that flat spot.
Do you remember how long she had to wear it?
I think like 10 months or something.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe it wasn't that long. And we had to keep taking her back to the appointment and they did these weird images. But she didn't mind it.
It was okay.
You know?
And it was just aesthetics, really, right?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong.
And they, it's like you never even know if it actually works or not because it's like,
oh, could it have healed on its own?
It might have just grow out of it anyway, but it, you know, you're not going to not do it.
Of course.
If somebody's like, you know, your baby might have a flat head. You're like, put the helmet on. We'll pay for it. That's fine.
Okay, risk to babies with a C-section include breathing problems, surgical injury.
Mm-hmm.
Risk to mothers in a C-section. See, this is why I was wondering. I was like, why is that such a big deal? Infection.
Mm-hmm.
After a C-section, there might be a risk of developing an infection of the lining of the uterus, endometritis in the urinary tract or at the site of the incision. Blood loss, reactions to anesthesia, blood clots, surgical injury.
I mean, it's a surgery.
Yeah, right? Of course. Like I know.
If you don't have to have a surgery, avoid it, I would say.
Increased risks during future pregnancies. I thought this was interesting. Having a C-section increases the risk of complications in a later pregnancy and in other surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
The more C-sections, the higher the risk of placenta previa, and a condition in which the placenta becomes attached to the wall of the uterus, placenta accreta.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Okay, so these are other things that people are worried about and sort of answers to them.
Okay.
I've personally felt like, which I'll get into later, but because I had a planned, scheduled induction,
mm-hmm.
I felt like I was preparing for a car wreck.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting.
Actually, it wasn't even because, I take that back, it wasn't because of the planned induction. It was when I was reading all those baby books.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is what's going to happen. And I was like, well, I'm going to suffer some injuries, but I know about it ahead of time. It's really fucking weird.
Yes.
Like, that's what I meant by I'm preparing to get in a car accident.
Right, right.
Okay. I'm nervous about labor pain. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that is on the top of most people's minds. Labor will hurt, but you have options. And even if you decline drugs, the worst is over fast. I don't know about that.
But they also, I do think film and television makes it look like it's this screaming festival. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying they make it look worse than it is, because it is quite an event on your body.
Right.
And it is a real thing.
Did you have an epidural?
I did.
So, see, we don't know. We don't really know how much it hurts without the...
It still was a lot. Like,
oh, okay.
But definitely before that epidural, I was like, wow.
Yeah. Oh, when the labor pains were coming.
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm saying, like, in the movies, they're always, like, screaming and, like...
I'm gonna kill you! You did this to
screaming
me!
Screaming at everyone.
That's stupid cliche.
And I think that is terrifying to women.
Yeah.
To see.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. It's very scary.
I think it'd be more realistic to watch actual births.
I think I did that by accident once. Oh, I know. I was babysitting.
Yeah.
And I was flipping through someone's photo album and there were pictures of the birth.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, I don't need to be looking at this. Maybe you should be flipping through someone's photo album. It was a lot.
It is.
It was
it
a
is.
Lot.
It is a lot.
Labor will hurt, but you have options. Even if you decline drugs, the worst is over fast. The pain has a purpose. It drives us into movements and positions that help labor progress. Most women feel able to manage the early and active stages of delivery, which are by far the longest portion. The relatively shorter period of transition, typically 1 to 3 hours, is toughest. The good news is that pushing you is usually right around the corner. And then, of course, the euphoria of the birth. Oh, boy, I didn't fucking feel any euphoria when I gave birth. If Medfree isn't your thing or your labor pain management isn't working, just say the word and relief, like an epidural, will be on its way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure I talked about this in another episode, but long story short, I had to be induced. I never went through labor. I don't even know what labor pains are regular labor pains, because it just wasn't happening. He did not want to leave.
Yeah.
So they gave me Pitocin, which is the drug to induce labor.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I didn't know this, but I swear to God, no one ever told me that the Pitocin increases the labor pain more than you could ever fucking imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is labor.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until after I gave birth that someone schooled me. Like, no, that increases. That's why you felt, because I was groaning. I was in so much pain. And then they gave me the epidural. Thank God they still have time to give me the epidural.
Yeah.
Okay. Score better odds. Sign up for yoga. This is to reduce pain, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Prenatal yoga practitioners reported less pain during labor, and it's no surprise. The pairing of movement and breath builds endurance, teaches you to breathe deeply, and helps you relax into discomfort, whether that's warrior's pose or labor pains. In addition to the breathing techniques and positions you learn, there are other medication-free tactics to lower the pain, or at least make you better able to tolerate it. But if all the birthing ball bouncing in the world can't help you get a grip on your contractions, opt for an epidural. I like that they're like not anti-medicine.
Yeah, they're not like, what is the Bradley method is the birthing class we took? They were so anti.
Oh, you took the Bradley method?
Yes, we took the class.
Oh.
And the it was at a yoga studio, which I was very happy with, because I'm, you know, big on yoga, and I
used to be a yoga teacher.
Used to be a yoga teacher, and so I was very into that. But they were so anti any kind of meds.
Yeah.
And also just even like the woman teaching it was like pretty anti even a lot of things, like taking certain vitamins and like you don't know what's in those.
Uh-huh.
And she made some weird claims about autism. And I was like,
oh,
you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of like, you know, guilt if you did that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That it was kind of very, it definitely felt like you were in a weird cult.
Yeah.
That was like,
I recently almost got into it with this woman who was a Bradley teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And because she started spouting off on how dangerous, you know, and but it was my friend's, like, mom's friend. Okay. So I just let it go. But I was like, oh, this is such bullshit. I can't even, like, anyway. I'm sure it had its time and place, natural childbirth. But over it.
I think if that's your choice, that's fine. But it doesn't need to be everybody's choice. And I do think the epidural is why I was able to.
Of course.
Why I was able to have the strength to push out Benjamin and not have a C-section. Because the pain was wearing me down so much and exhausting me that then once I had the epidural, I actually was able to have enough, like, sort of relief that I could sort of gather my resources to have the strength. To push.
Yeah, right. Like, of course.
And I think that sometimes people don't realize that the pain can really wear you down. And I still felt it. I still felt it enough that I knew when to push. Like, it didn't numb me completely to the bottom of my half of my body that I didn't know what was going on. It just turned it down enough for me that I was able to, like, be aware of myself.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I went with the Bradley Cooper method, which was I just imagined a very good looking man with two different color eyes. And that seemed that to do worked. The trick. It just did the trick.
You know, maybe you should teach that method.
I should.
As an alternate.
I will just play old episodes of Alias.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I would love to know the percentage of people who take classes who then apply what they learned in the class. Because we didn't apply jack shit. Now, I had I don't know how unusual it was, but I had an extenuating circumstance, which is that I was induced. But
almost everybody has an extenuating circumstance.
That's what I'm saying.
I think the classes should actually be a baby's coming home with you.
Yes. Yes.
Here's what you need to know.
Yes.
Because they teach you all of the stuff that's about one
moment,
some small period of time in a room that then everything's different.
Yeah. Because
it never goes the way. It's like, you know, get a playlist together. Do you want candles in the room? And I'm like, room are you talking about? I'm not getting the suite in Cedar Sinai.
No kidding.
Like, or do you want to walk around or do you want to sit? I'm like, nobody gave me any choice of that kind of stuff. Like, and then you realize, oh, there is a baby coming home with you, too, in my case.
Yes.
Like, and you are not
maybe clear
ready.
A pathway to your bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another fear. I'll tear or need an episiotomy. How likely is it? Once routine, episiotomies cutting the perineum or tissue between the vagina and rectum, mm-hmm. Garen, to make more room for the baby or prevent a more severe tear are now done in roughly 12% of births, usually to speed things along if baby's not handling labor well. Tearing happens when your skin won't stretch enough to accommodate your cutie and is quite common. Doctors repair a laceration in almost half of hospital births. Your OB may give you a shorter snip, requiring just a couple of snitches to prevent rupture. It's not for the faint of heart.
No, I had to have a little stitch after.
Yeah.
But my doctor did a lot of, like, stretching, like, while I was in labor. He was, like,
with those, like, spacer earrings?
Yeah.
He just
kept putting bigger and bigger earrings.
Yeah, the gauges.
Yeah, gauges.
Yeah,
gauges.
Just gradually bigger and bigger.
I was, like, just a barista at a Silver Lake coffee shop down there.
You had the hippest vagina.
Oh.
Honestly, nothing grosses me out more than those fucking gauges. I cannot take it.
I can't deal with it. I'm too old to see it.
It's so gross. And it's just like, who are you fooling? That's
somebody's attracted to that.
Someone's attracted to that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lid
makes
for
me
that
want to vomit, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
the lid is in the ear hole. That's the problem.
We make somebody want to vomit. So.
We make somebody want to vomit?
I assume.
We must. Right. Yeah. You're right.
I mean, you know, like,
ugh, people look at how normal they are. Such normies.
Look at those women with their regular earrings and their eyeshadow.
Okay, score better odds. Side lying in upright positions are great for protecting the perineum. Even women who get an epidural may be able to use a squat bar when it's time to push, which I don't know how. I mean,
a squat bar. Did your delivery room have a squat bar?
No, but it did have a Pilates Cadillac machine.
No, it didn't.
No, of course not. no, it was Kaiser Permanente. I was happy if it had a sink. I mean, it was, you know, no, it didn't have a squat bar. But also, I don't understand if you have an epidural, how you're able to stand up and suddenly do squats.
I don't know either. I never wanted to move from that bed. You couldn't. I wanted to grip those handrails.
Yeah.
And you couldn't even peel my finger. Like, Sven would be like, why don't you relax your hands a little? And I'd say, don't tell me what to do right now.
You did this to me.
I kind of was like that a little bit.
Oh, really?
I didn't say that. I was a little like he kept saying, remember to think about the place that relaxes you and take a deep breath. And I was like, I don't want to think about Belize right now. It's not working.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not working. Yeah, like the things they kept saying, I was like, none of this is working right now. I just have to get through this moment.
I just want to remember the time I wasn't pregnant. Okay. Even women who... Okay, so supposedly you can still do it. All right. In addition, ask a nurse to hold a warm compress over your perineum. That seems very intimate.
Which I don't think I could have made that request.
No.
I couldn't.
You won't even ask for extra sugar for your coffee. You're not going to ask. Could you hold a warm on my taint?
I couldn't have even asked for that for my forehead. Let alone on my... Jeez.
Which Jeez. Increases blood flow and elasticity. Your nurse can also give you a perineal massage. Nope. As that, you push. Yeah,
that's what my doctor was doing. And when I was in active labor, and at that point, you know, I didn't care what anybody did.
I got
to
tell you, we did everything you were supposed to do beforehand.
Yes. And did you eat the salad?
Yes. Okay. In LA, there's a restaurant in the Valley called The Salad.
I didn't even know it was called The Salad, but I've heard about The Salad.
And it's supposed to induce labor. Guess what? It doesn't induce labor because nothing fucking induces labor.
Oliver never wanted to leave you.
He didn't want to leave. He wanted to be up in my grill or whatever that's called as long as
there,
possible.
He's remained.
And he's still there. Okay. Your nurse can also... Okay. All right. What to do. If you have a SNP, you'll be so distracted by the birth that you won't register the sting of anesthesia your doctor injects before stitching you up with sutures that dissolve in a few weeks. The tissue, thank God it's the kind that dissolve and you don't have to go back and have them removed.
Right.
The tissue may itch or feel tight as it heals. Sitting in a bath daily can ease soreness and normal swelling from the delivery. And a topical estrogen cream may be prescribed if the incision isn't healing. Okay, here's one I've heard a lot about. I'll poop on the table. That's another fear. I'll poop on the table. How likely is it? Very.
And you don't care. P.S.
Supposedly, I didn't. According to Jimmy, I didn't. Unless he's just pulling a long con. You think he's pulling a long con?
I do.
Maybe he was just up.
Well, was he down at the end?
I was going to say, maybe he wasn't there at that moment because they say here that they clean it up really quickly and you may not
even
know.
Sven was up with me at that point anyway, holding my hand. But I am sure I did. Like, you can't push that hard.
I don't know.
And not have poop come out.
Right. If there is anything inside of you ahead of the baby, it's going to get pushed out. As your baby's head moves through the birth canal, it flattens your rectum like a tube of toothpaste.
Sorry, I don't know why that image just makes me laugh.
Because you're...
Poop's funny.
Most women wind up pushing out a little poo along with their baby, so don't be embarrassed. Okay, I'm going to... We got that whole thing.
You really... I just want to reiterate this to anyone who is either pregnant right now or has not had a baby but probably will someday or maybe will.
Yeah.
You don't care. You really don't care in the moment.
Right.
I'm not saying you don't care now. I'm saying in the moment... You will not care. You are so focused on pushing. Like, you are another entity at that time.
Yeah.
You're not, like, even thinking about any vanity at all.
Right, no. Labor induction, also known as inducing labor.
Yeah.
There's your grammar for you. Is prompting the uterus to contract during pregnancy before labor begins on its own for a vaginal birth. A healthcare provider might recommend inducing labor for various reasons, primarily when there's concern for the mother's or baby's health. An important factor in predicting whether an induction will succeed is how soft and expanded the cervix is. Cervix ripening. Cervical Ooh. Ripening.
Ugh. Ripe for the picking.
The gestational
so
age.
Sexy.
I'm telling you, it's all really gross. The gestational age of the baby, as confirmed by early regular ultrasounds, also is important. If a healthcare provider recommends labor induction, it's typically because the benefits outweigh the risks. If you're pregnant, understanding why and how labor induction is done can help you prepare. To determine if it is necessary, they will evaluate several factors, including the mother's health, the status of the cervix. They also include the baby's health, gestational age, weight, size, and position in the uterus. Reasons to induce labor include nearly 1 to 2 weeks beyond the due date without labor starting. I was 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
When labor doesn't begin after the water breaks, an infection in the uterus.
Ooh.
When the baby's estimated weight is less than the 10th percentile for gestational age. When there's not enough amniotic fluid surrounding the baby. Mm-hmm. Possibly when diabetes develops during pregnancy, which is called gestational diabetes,
mm-hmm.
or diabetes exists before pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to go over some of the risks of inducing. Failed induction. An induction might be considered failed if the methods used don't result in a vaginal delivery after 24 hours. In such cases, a C-section might be necessary. Low fetal heart rate. The medications used to induce labor, oxytocin or a prostaglandin, might cause the uterus to contract too much,
mm-hmm.
which can lessen the baby's oxygen supply and lower the baby's heart rate.
Mm.
Infection. Some methods of labor induction, such as rupturing the membranes, might increase the risk of infection for both mother and baby. The longer the time between membrane rupture and labor, the higher the risk of infection. Uterine rupture. This is a rare but serious complication in which the uterus tears along the scar from a prior C-section. Oh, remember, boy. We were talking about the problems? Rarely, uterine rupture can also occur in women who have not had previous uterine surgery and bleeding after delivery.
Wow.
Okay. Are you ready for a short story?
I love it.
Okay. This is just one of those things where people write into a magazine and tell their birth story. So it's not like a long thing. It's just like an anecdotal sort of thing.
I love it. I love an anecdotal
thing. This is Jillian Q from NYC. Ooh,
she sounds like a Bond character.
She is. My son was breech and born by C-section. So when I became pregnant with my daughter a year and a half later, I decided it made the most sense to have her by C-section as well.
Mm-hmm.
We had the C-section scheduled for Monday, but on Friday night, I started having tiny contractions. My doctor said not to worry. It was just pre-labor. But as the contractions got worse, I started to panic. My husband called a friend to come and stay with our son, and off we went to the hospital to see what was what.
Yeah.
After 5 years of walking around the hospital and the block.
5 years?
Sorry, let me do that again. After 5 hours of having me walk around the hospital, the block, you name it, they determined it was indeed pre-labor, and I was cleared to have my C-section as planned on Monday.
Okay.
Sheepishly, I went home. My contractions progressed, but not wanting to cause another false alarm, I ignored them, assuming I was nowhere close to actually having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
We did, however, ask my mom to drive up just in case we needed her to stay with our son. And wouldn't you know it? Come 2 a.m. Saturday, I was in agony. Though my water hadn't broken, my contractions were coming constantly, and I knew I had to get to the hospital stat. When I arrived at triage, they agreed and called my doctor to hurry in to perform the C-section. Everybody kept telling me there was plenty of time, but in between begging the attending physicians for an epidural, no dice when you're awaiting surgery, it turns out, I could feel myself starting to push. I'm pushing, I screamed. Don't push, the nurses screamed back. Too late, I yelled. And there you have it. I delivered my daughter by accident and via VBAC,
mm-hmm.
just as my doctor was pulling into the parking lot.
Yes.
As I like to finish the story, she's been surprising and terrorizing us ever since.
Yeah, she knew.
She knew.
That's an,
also, she had already had a baby.
It's an important note, I think, as well to give, which is,
listen,
you
to
know,
your
you yes. know, and like sometimes you really have to badger healthcare professionals when
apparently.
It's, especially with motherhood and childbirth, that like you know what your body's telling you, and they can be very dismissive mm-hmm. of women.
Absolutely.
And you have to be insistent of like, listen, something's wrong. Something's off. This is what's happening.
Yes.
And you kind of have to keep saying it and maybe say it to other doctors or get a different doctor if they're being dismissive.
Yeah.
Because.
Or just squat right down the yeah. lobby, I guess. Okay. So that was that.
I love that.
Let's
I'm so glad we talked about it.
Clean up the afterbirth during the break.
You know what? I'm going to have someone come in and do that.
Well, that's what Garen's for.
Yeah.
Yeah. By someone, you mean Garen.
I thought that was a given.
Okay. Get a clothespin for your nose, and we will be right back after this.
Can't wait. Welcome back to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. Danielle.
Christine.
I really like your earrings and I'm sorry I didn't bring it up on the air earlier.
You know what? God damn it. The friendship's over.
I know. This will be our final episode.
I don't generally wear earrings on Tuesdays because of the headphones. Mm-hmm. Are they called headphones? I always use the wrong word.
I don't know what else we would call them. Headsets?
I don't know. Headsets.
Cans?
My cans. Well, that evokes other my cans. They're all top notch.
We've all been admiring your cans.
For years.
Now I'm going to get a HR meeting with who's in charge of HR here?
Just like the guy in the hall.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to get called in.
What's that handsome guy's name from...
Tyler?
Tyler, yeah. There's a model, an ex-model who roams these halls.
Now I'm going to get a meeting with the next model.
Yeah.
Which is what I've been vying for this whole time anyway.
I know.
So...
Well, what did you do during the break? I know people like hearing what we did during the break.
I talked with our guest. We gossiped about Hollywood.
Oh, okay. I'd like to hear about that. I missed it, of course, because I had to pee. So before we went to break, we were talking about how to survive delivering a baby. And now we're going to talk about how to survive driving with a baby with our guest star, Matt Bronger. You know Matt from television. He is an actor. He's a comedian. I remember you, Matt, in a short-lived series that I really wished kept going on because I liked it so much. Up All Night.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
With our friend, I was going to call her Samantha Who.
Christina Applegate?
Christina Applegate.
Oh, so you mean Samantha Who?
Samantha Who.
Yeah.
I love Christina Applegate.
You know, she was in a show called Samantha Who, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Christina Applegate and Arnett, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you were
Rudolph. Yeah.
Yes, right. And it was so good. And it was the weirdest thing because they changed halfway. They changed the format of the show.
Yeah.
So just tell me quickly what they did because it was so weird.
I have so many situations where I'm so outside looking in but still in.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was just recurring.
Yeah,
so they would
right.
kind of just write me and Jean Villepigue, who played my wacky wife, into...
Oh, that was Jean Villepigue mm-hmm. from AP Bio.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's right. They were the neighbors. You guys were the neighbors.
Yes, horrifically annoying neighbors.
Yeah.
And we were in I believe it was the pilot or the second episode where there was us and there was an androgynous couple across the street who were very, very hip. You know, not that they were androgynous.
Right.
That wasn't the point. The point was they were dressed very monochromatically and had giant dogs. And the couple you live near, you're like, I don't relate to them at
right,
all.
Right.
We were just the annoying neighbors, but the writers were having so much more fun with us that we kept getting written
so
in and
cool.
again and again and again. So it was a blast. But yeah, at a certain point, they flipped it from this woman who is kind of basically the producer of a television show starring Maya Rudolph's
right,
character.
Like an Oprah show.
Yes, she was kind of a trash Oprah. Like if Oprah would walk in a room and say, it's me, Oprah, like yell at everybody.
right. I think she does.
Well, she probably has someone to do that. She would be a
right,
little
right.
There would be discretion on the level of an international
icon. Yeah,
she's
icon like a little
herself.
Person step on a stool and then with a trumpet announce her presence.
Yes, exactly. Something very different, very royal. But it was just this super fun show. And then they flipped the whole thing and kind of took away the show within the show a little bit more. And you know,
and also wasn't it like a single camera and then it became a sitcom and then it became like a three camera.
They just tried a couple different things.
It was so
in that
weird.
Season.
I now
wild.
Remember the show.
You remember
now.
The show?
Yeah. At first, I was like, it sounds familiar.
But it was
and now
so,
I'm remembering it.
It was so good. Yeah. I didn't understand why they were screwing
why they
with
changed
me.
They didn't need to because it was just the idea of like you're a parent but you still want to party.
Yeah.
Like that's infinitely relatable. Every parent has that where it's like can I keep some of my freedom?
Right.
Which literally is my life. My wife and I only had one kid.
Right.
Like not to party necessarily but to have freedom to be able to
right.
move when we want and la 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 and travel. So, you know, and also all we wanted was one, but it's kind of this thing of you know, to the anti sacrifice your entire life for your child show.
Yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm.
which,
yeah.
Very it, funny
it was,
about it.
It was perfect. It was perfect casting. It was perfect chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, we are going to get into your kid in a second.
Okay.
But before we do that, what's going on now? Where can we see you?
Oh,
what?
I have a special out on YouTube called Doug that is named after a terrible guy I met on vacation with my wife before. And it, you know, I just chose that name, but it, it's kind that. Of like my thing is I kind of had this, you know, this kind of, you know, keeping my options open life, which a lot of men have. And mine went on very, very long, partially because of my career, partially because of, you know, just me being a selfish, self-centered only child. But my wife and I met, quote unquote, kind of later in life.
Okay.
And though I was never what you'd call necessarily a scumbag or anything like that, I met a guy named Doug who was. And he was married. And he had,
he had
kids, and he didn't like the fact that he had kids. And, you know, I like a good time, but Doug and his wife spent the entire time in the Caribbean getting effed up. And very angry that they had a family. And I was always I kind of, if I want a family, I want a family. I'm not doing one because of societal pressure.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, and it kind of goes through the story I'm going to talk about today with the travel across the country during the pandemic, but also kind of finding a big chunk of happiness kind of at the, quote unquote, late in life. I don't look at it that way. And I always laugh about how I technically am like a grandfather in places like Tennessee.
Right.
Yeah. Not in L.A.
No, you're totally typical in L.A.
There'll be an 80-year-old dude on his seventh marriage just bitching about having to chase the one she demanded they make, quote-unquote, naturally, and trying to get $1,000 to chase his kid because his back is fused. You know, anyway, Doug is for free. I
can't wait to watch it.
It's to be like a vacation for people of all ages, and you'll like it if you have kids, you'll like it if you don't, and I just think we're in the era of, it's really how you ever you want your life to be. If you...
Yeah. Yeah, no one's telling you have to have children.
Nope, or that you shouldn't, or whatever. You know, so that it's kind of like my little story, my little microcosm of my life and time.
I'm thinking White Lotus season 3 for this story of Doug.
Doug would go. I mean, and he was also a fascinating guy. Doug's whole thing was he judged other people about what they did for a living or how much money they had.
Oh, God, you didn't tell me you were a comic, did you?
I don't want to give my whole story away. That's on the thing.
All right, I will just say
every time I saw Doug, he was drunk and wet. Like, he had just rolled in on the froth of the surf. And he was like in his 50s. And it's always that thing where when I see someone that still goes that hard, I'm just like, are you talking to your doctor? Are you talking to your psychologist?
It's alarming.
We're talking about your story. Okay, what happened?
Basically, in early 2020, as we all remember, Oregon caught fire.
Yes.
And
yes.
My parents live there. And, you know, no, it was more like the Ashland area, which is more southern Oregon. My parents live in Portland, which is in the north. But the air was like, you know, India at its worst in industrial areas. And so we were going to take my daughter in a Winnebago up and just not get out of it, just bring enough food to go through there. And
how old was your daughter at
the
point?
She was 6 weeks old.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Tiny, holy ghost.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it was, let's bring this kid to my parents. A lot of it was, let's just get the hell out of L.A. for a while. I'm stir crazy. Everybody was stir crazy.
Yeah.
And then California caught fire, too.
Right. Yeah, because the air was awful here as well.
Yeah, it got awful afterwards. Yeah. The same problem happened with the wildfires. And so we had planned to do the Oregon run as a test run to later that year, around Thanksgiving, drive to Kara's parents' place in Mansfield, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, screw it, let's do that now.
We
loaded up my car, which is an electric car, with all of our supplies and our child, and drove across the country 3,300 miles, basically.
Wow.
During
a pandemic and an election year.
Okay.
And electric car with California plates.
Oh, fun.
Who was running that year?
I don't know if you remember.
Vaguely.
It was a mellow election.
Vaguely.
Not contentious at all.
Fun to be in some of those states.
Oh, my God.
In an electric car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I didn't get the razzing I thought I'd get. In fact, my big takeaway was there are people who I'm sure I would diametrically disagree with on almost every sociopolitical issue, but we all kind of got along because I saw the same look of fearful uncertainty in literally everyone's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Every single state I went to, people were like, I don't know what's next. Is this the rest of our lives?
Yeah.
I don't know how to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's be honest, the internet is the problem. Because the internet and, you know, clickbait thrives sure. on danger. Mm-hmm. So people are at each right. other's necks. But, you know, I at one point, we traveled across the country, you know, just from charging station to charging station. So mm-hmm. when we right. charge up the car, that's when we take Rose out and walk around in a stroller and go change her inside a gas station right. or mm-hmm. or whatnot. I tell a story on Doug about stopping in a biker bar / family restaurant in Nebraska that's called Thunder Road. And if anyone's listening and you're in Nebraska, go. It's a great place. The changing table is in the men's restroom in
what?
The bar, if you can believe
Wait
it.
Wait a second. That that's extremely progressive.
I love that.
Wow. Rose had a blowout beyond a blowout. Then the smell just
well, all that beer.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
six-year-olds can't hold their liquor. Old,
she's on
no.
the way having roadies, you know? Yeah. And we pull in, and I didn't know what it was. It was so big, it looked like a warehouse of some kind. And it's just there's motorcycles as far as the eye
wow.
can see. And I went into the family restaurant area, and they were like, the bathroom's actually in the bar. And so I went through there holding
oh,
Rose
shit.
And put her on this changing table that you could use to birth a horse. Like, it was the most extremely large changing table I've ever seen.
I was going to say, maybe it wasn't for babies.
You know,
maybe it was maybe like
it
some...
had the baby symbol on it, but maybe
okay.
those guys would crack it
I'm
down and they'd do secret drinking.
Something.
Or horse
you know,
birth.
While they're old ladies.
Horse birth. Yeah, Chris thinks.
Bring a horse into the bathroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I, you know, the rest of the story, again, is on the special, not to lay the bait and all that stuff. But I connected with, you know, a biker guy who was staring at my naked kid, and you have that feeling of you're like, what?
Oh.
And you have that sinking feeling, is this guy a creep?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And he basically was like, that's a rash. And I was like, excuse
oh.
me. And he said, and I say this in the joke, but he was like, you know, I got four of those. Four of those. Kids, you mean? He's like, I know a rash when I see one. That's a rash. And he opened up his pocket of his cut, you know, his leather jacket.
That's so what it's called?
The
a cut?
A cut. Yeah, it's like those leather vests they wear that
yeah.
have, you know, Hell's Angels or Mongols
yes.
or whatever on the back.
You're talking
yeah.
like I don't have one.
Yeah. They,
I just didn't know that's
one.
What it was called.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
the hot road mamas.
Yes.
Right? Sure.
Yeah.
This guy, he unsnapped a thing and he was like, you got the cream. And he had
no.
diaper cream in his
cup. No.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Because this bar had almost every biker had a kid next to him that they were just like, you know, with a chocolate milk or something.
Just like just a like with a bandana on and like
much.
Bad haircuts.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah. And oh some, but some I was delighted to see still in their pajamas. Like those kids that will,
yes.
they scream so much. You're going to daycare in your damn pajamas.
Yeah,
fine.
Yes, like
yes.
that's it.
You know, even this guy who looks like, you know, Odin from Norse mythology.
Right.
He cannot get into the clothes. But
did he have wipes in the other pocket? And...
Probably. I mean, he was like, stay strapped, brother, and he walked out.
No.
And it was like the kinship, you know.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
At one point at a charging station, a guy pulled up in a pickup truck and got out and didn't have a shirt on. And I was like, well, this is going to be trouble because he's eyeing my car and, you know, he saw the plates. And I took Rose out, and he just kind of took a step back, and he went, look at that baby. Like, he just said it to himself.
Oh, my God.
And he melted. And
yeah.
we kind of just started talking
God.
About the weather. Yeah, it was like...
See, we need more babies yeah. in government.
I swear to God.
Babies are
January
a great
6th
equalizer.
Never would happen if someone just walked
know.
Out the front with a small, you know...
Actually, during the 15 rounds of voting for the Speaker of the House, did you see that everyone brought their babies?
That's pretty funny.
A yeah. lot of the reps... brought their babies, and a couple of men were strapped, had their babies strapped on them the entire time.
Wow.
It was really interesting to see.
That's wild because, I mean, if there's ever a time that calls for childcare, my kid would not sit still during a section of the
weird.
House.
It was weird. Well, I guess they can walk around with them and stuff because in between voting, I don't know. And there were some older kids there too, and I'm like, they got to be bored out of their fucking minds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's got to be some kind of demonstrative thing they were all doing. Because
maybe.
You know, I mean, you know, your kids are both your kids are grown,
yeah.
you know, enough to have cognitive dissonance
yeah.
and
yeah.
awareness. My kid will just be like, oh, let me explore. And I have to follow her.
Yes.
Right.
So
yes,
I
yes.
would be that congressperson that's just like, sorry, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, did I miss the vote? I'm sorry.
She's going past you. I'm yeah. going to climb over. Yep. Excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry. Rose, give it back. Give it back. Give it back. Give it back. Yeah. That would have been me. So I can't imagine being in Congress.
That's crazy.
And bringing my kid, you know.
So she's 2.5 now.
She's 2.5. Yes.
Okay. So you're okay. So then you're in the thing, and the guys.
And we got along, and he screamed at his friends to come look at this baby, and they came out of the truck. I didn't know there was anybody else in the truck. The windows were grimy, thick with dirt.
Musk.
But they got out, and then they all kind of gathered around Rose, and we started talking about how things are going and stuff.
Wow.
And then, yeah. And one of them, one guy in a different group, told me that daughters are the best, except they love you to death till they're 13, then they hate your fucking guts till they're 30. That's his words.
Wow, like till 30.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I was like, that's a big window.
That's such a window. And for the parents' lifespan, that's a big chunk of your life.
Yeah.
Especially if you're older when you give birth or
30.
Become a parent.
Yep.
I'm like, that's I don't know lot. If I have that long.
I don't know. I don't think I do. You know? I mean, I'll be very old when she's 30, but you know, hopefully still kicking, but it'll be that moment where she's like, hey, I don't hate you anymore. Oh, thank God.
30th birthday.
Thank God. Okay. Is that today?
You're on your deathbed. Yay.
But it was almost like not just the fact that we kept moving and the fact that I had developed a Tetris-like system of moving all the suitcases and stuff out of the car onto a luggage cart into the hotel night after night after night, including a snoo. Do you guys know what that
is? No.
Snoo is basically
I know what a shmoo
is. Crib. What's a shmoo?
It was from Popeye? Shmoo from Popeye?
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
We're talking like 1940s Fleischman cartoons here. I don't know if I'm getting it right, but okay. I think that's what a shmoo is. It was a sort of, what's the word? Like formless kind of thing.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
But I don't know why it would be in Popeye, but I think it was. Anyway, Garen will look it up.
This is basically like
a snoo.
A motorized crib. It basically rocks them, and you basically straitjacket the kid.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
When
swaddle.
He or she is that small, and then it kind of just it just shakes them, and it emits a white noise that mirrors that of what you'd hear inside the womb.
Nice.
So the kid knocks out.
Nice. I want one of these.
I need
but
that.
It's heavy. It's probably about 60 pounds, and I carried those in and out of hotels across the country on a luggage cart or a laundry basket if they didn't have luggage carts available. So that was stressful. But
and
it
there
was
were
just,
no flights at this time, right?
And we wouldn't have taken
And
them.
You wouldn't, because
that was early day.
It's too scary.
There was no risking anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't know anything about it. I was in Ann Arbor the weekend it all went down, and they're like, I was like, are we doing tonight's shows? And I remember the club owner was like, yeah, the tickets are selling great. I'm like, that's not the point, man.
That's exactly the opposite of why we should be doing it.
Yeah. Exactly. And I look back on how ignorant we were. It wasn't anyone's fault, but we didn't realize it was the breathing. After the show, I did like the little meet and greet at the front, but the only precaution we made was we would just touch elbows. We wouldn't shake hands because we thought it was handshaking.
Yeah.
That's why we were wiping every surface clean.
Oh my God, I remember
the groceries.
That. And wiping down for the groceries.
Bags of Oreos with, you know, Glade or whatever. So it's,
it actually makes them healthier.
Gives them a minty taste.
Yeah. Eat the whole sleeve.
Yeah.
Like pine. But we were kind of just like go, and when we finally got to Massachusetts, we lived in that small town she's from as honorary townies for about a month.
Oh,
so
nice!
Just stayed there and took Rose for walks, and it was gorgeous out, and you know it was just before winter was going to hit. And so we would have kind of like outdoor gatherings with her friends she grew up with, you know, around heaters, you know, gas powered heaters and stuff. And I remember the very last one we had, it was like we really pushed it.
Yeah.
I was like, I am freezing right now.
Oh, and we're standing on
this heater at like, you know, 11 p.m. Like we have to stop. And so we drove back. And
people are overrated at that point.
They really are. And I remember election night, we were in Asheville.
Wait a second. So did you get to vote?
Oh, yeah.
Did you vote in Los Angeles before you left? Or?
Yeah, absentee ballot. So we were in Asheville, North Carolina, And, you know, that's kind of a blue bubble. Mm-hmm. It's definitely okay. like a progressive town in an area that, generally speaking, isn't, you know.
Did you make and sure you were in a blue area on election night? Was
no,
that part of the plan?
We didn't have a plan along those lines, but it was almost worse than being in a red city because you had guys driving into this election night into Asheville in pickups with Trump flags,
no.
screaming and doing donuts in the street.
Really?
Yeah, because Asheville is very art centric. You have people with like, they dyed their hair pink or
weirdos.
Blue.
Weirdos.
Yeah, and they're, you know, they're outside having coffee or whatever, and these guys are screaming at them and they're screaming back.
Jesus
And we're
Christ.
Up in the, I'm up in this hotel looking down and it looked like something out of like Road Warrior because these trucks are just going up and down every major street, just antagonizing. That's all it was. And I remember voting, and of course the results are coming in, and we don't know anything yet. But it's like it's looking like Trump has a chance. But that's because there's no absentee ballots coming,
right?
And as the days went on, it started going. We started relaxing a little bit more and going, okay. And then we were in New Orleans when they called it.
Yeah.
So we went there.
Okay.
Well, and we loaded into the hotel, and I remember middle of the day, it pops up on screen for Biden, and we were like, wow. And it was like definitely like a, oh my God. This is amazing, but also just like just so weird because you'd walk. We went into Garden District just to walk around, and there were people who were either stone faced or partying their dicks off.
Yeah, they're throwing beads at your 6 week old.
100%. There's a woman in a doorway with a flute of champagne, and a guy walked by angry, and she's like, "You mad bitch?" And
oh my
like,
God.
Oh. Is walking.
Wow.
You know, I will say the biggest thing about the trip is I'd be so surprised by how people actually are. Mm-hmm. Where there was a guy who had all his kids in a wheelbarrow, and you know, it's archetypal. Oh, this has got to be a Trump voter, right?
Yeah.
He had taken a paintbrush and painted Biden on his shirt. And I'm changing rows in the trunk of the car, which I became adept at doing. I did it all the time, hundreds of times. And he walked by and was like, "She's going to grow up in a better world, man," and just kept walking, you know. It was very sweet.
Well, I'm sorry to backtrack. No. Are you implying he spelled Biden incorrectly? Did he spell Biden?
B-Y-E-D-O-N.
Oh, okay.
Sorry,
it's a pun.
I wasn't clear. Yes.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
I didn't get it for a minute, but yeah.
Biden. Mm-hmm. Got it. Nice.
That's it. So,
nice.
You know, it was equal parts, I would say, people who were very, very happy and people who were not. But,
interesting.
You know, I didn't go have brunch at Brennan's, where I'm sure there'd be, you know, fancy people.
From, yeah.
You know, old cotton money whites. You know, but it's like when we went and had champagne at lunch, and a waiter was like kind of jumping from foot to foot excited, and I was like, "How long till you get off?" He's like, "2 hours, man. Can't fucking wait." You know, like because you know the young people were just really go off. But it was interesting, and it was interesting driving back because then it was the whole thing of, you know, we knew he wasn't gonna concede like ever.
Right.
And then that became clear, and so it was kind of like, well, we're still in it. This is never over.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's weird to drive across the country in limbo and then drive back in a new reality, even though it wasn't a reality for a lot of people.
Yeah. Like still isn't.
Yeah.
Saying I'll never forget it doesn't even suffice, you know, because it was such a wild experience. But I think, you know, when you have a kid, you're already kind of making that jump. You know what I mean? It's kind of like I always go back to that Helen Keller quote where like security is basically an illusion. Life is either a great adventure or nothing. And that's severe, but so was Helen. I think it's like once you do have a kid.
Can I just say it finally? She was a lot.
Kind of.
She was a lot.
Kind of intense.
Really needy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Overcome a lot.
It's all about you.
Now, yeah.
God, okay. Stop. We get it.
Your journey, Helen. Yeah. Once you have a kid and you're already in it and you're already on this great adventure that is terrifying. But even if you don't have a kid and you're just alive, so it is. It's its own thing. So it makes you kind of reflect on all of it and go, well, I could scream and flip out because everything caught fire, or we could just get the hell out of Dodge and understand we're probably going to be okay. Let's just take this. Because I think, you know, it's a huge part of your mental health to be able to, you know, stretch and go ahead and just try something. Yeah. Just get out there and try something. And, you know, within reason and affecting safe boundaries and things like that. But I will say, overall, I was pleasantly surprised.
So the fascinating thing about this is that you're going to, I'm sure, as she gets older, you're going to be able to tell Rose that she lived through this extraordinary time in her very first weeks of life. Mm-hmm. And it's just such an interesting sort of, I'm sure you have lots of pictures.
Of course.
You know, she, like, that was the beginning of her life, was this crazy change in climate, you know, political climate and and a worldwide pandemic and meeting all these different people and meeting her grandparents. I'm assuming that was the first time they saw her.
Yes, for sure.
And then what, did you ever get to go up north?
Yeah, no, my parents came down.
Oh, okay.
They did what we were going to do, where they rented a Winnebago and they drove down.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so that was awesome. Everybody got to see everybody on a certain level. So, you know, it was just kind of like zombie apocalypse living without the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know, it was, so not as fun.
Not as fun.
No.
Not as exciting.
No. You can't wear pajamas in the apocalypse. No, you got to have hard shoes.
Armor.
Nobody's carrying an axe. Friend, that one.
No shotguns.
Yeah.
Well, what am I saying? It's America. We all have
guns. Yeah, shotguns. Everyone's armed.
Everybody.
But you go up north, you go a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Guns aplenty.
So many guns.
So many guns.
Yeah. That's what cracks me up when people are like, oh, Portland, so liberal. I'm like, parts. You know, you go 2 miles outside the city, you'll find.
Interesting.
Yeah. Some real red folks.
Yeah, but I only know Portland really from Portlandia, so I only know that.
That's and Portlandia is pretty dead on, too.
Yeah.
I've never seen a sketch that I was like, totally not true. You know.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It was such a great story. It was just like, I touched on all these things. I love it.
Yes.
And congratulations on Rose.
Thank you.
We saw pictures of her, and she's really, really cute. Really cute.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with what did we learn today?
Danielle, Christine, are you ready to learn what we learned
today?
Correct.
Yes.
Moroccan mint tea, on average, has around 30 milligrams of caffeine per 8 ounce cup.
Is that a lot?
I don't know, because I don't know what coffee has, but let's say yes.
Okay. It seems
like a lot.
It does feel like a lot.
I think it's the same as a coffee? Line of cocaine.
Oh, sure. That has a lot of caffeine in it, too.
Maybe teach what to do after the birth, fools. The Bradley method emphasizes that birth is a natural process. Mothers are encouraged to trust their body and focus on diet and exercise through pregnancy. And it teaches couples to manage labor through deep breathing and the support of a partner or labor coach.
Again, if it works for you, fantastic.
Great.
But I just don't like the shaming of the drugs, because drugs are a godsend.
Yeah. Guess what? My life is here because I take drugs.
That's right.
And I'm still alive because of them. So don't start telling me I'm not supposed to take them.
Right, jerk
shamer,
jerk faces.
You yoga teaching, shaming hippie.
Wow.
Oxytocin or Pitocin can cause or strengthen labor and contractions during childbirth and control bleeding after childbirth. It can also be used to induce abortion.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That seems like a bad...
I know.
I don't... No thanks.
How do you... What the
No thanks
hell?
To that kind of abortion.
No, but it's just a weird... Like, it can either help you give birth or give you an abortion.
It's like dice.
It might be when you're far... Kind of... It's a later... I don't know. I don't want to even get into it because I don't know. Vagina gauges seem like a missed opportunity.
It really does. I'm sure there's some, I was going to say goth, but I'm sure goth is not the right term anymore, but I'm sure there's some.
We might not know they already exist.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know?
So gross.
I know that somebody's got a gauge in their dick.
100%. Sure. Someone's got a gauge in their dick? You mean in the pee hole, in the urethra?
I don't know where people put things in their dick. Like,
I don't either.
Weird things. And I don't want to know, so don't send any pictures. But I'm sure there's a gauge in someone's dick.
You can put things inside, right?
That's sounding. Yeah.
Oh, so gross.
What did he say?
It's called sounding.
You stick like a metal rod or something inside.
Oh, God. That just made my insides. I just did like 1,000 kegels.
Oh. If it was easy as that, I would just have you talk to me about sounding all day.
Like, if I had one of those Gwyneth Paltrow eggs yeah. in me right now, I would right. have crushed it.
Yeah.
It's a diamond now.
Perect. Oh, my God. Protect your perineum. Perineum?
Perineum.
I never get that right. The urban legend of Coyote Pizza Cafe's labor salad. Did I say that right?
That's the word.
Coyote
that's the place.
Pizza? That word is a conundrum to me. Is going strong after more than 25 years. The rather simple dish of romaine, watercress, walnuts, gorgonzola, and house-made vinaigrette is said to have helped untold expectant mothers go into labor.
I mean, I guess, you know, if you're going in your ninth month on in your 40th week and you have it, I guess the chances are you're going to give labor. I mean, it didn't work for me.
I bet they put castor oil in that salad dressing.
Maybe in the dressing, yeah.
Yeah.
Oxytocin. Yeah.
Oh, here we go. This is what I've been dying to know.
Yes.
The Shmoo is a fictional cartoon created by Al Capp. The character first appeared in the comic strip Lil Abner on August 31st, 1948. The popular character has gone on to influence pop culture, language, geopolitics, human history, and even science.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
You really tapped into something.
Yeah,
you know?
Except I was wrong about it was Lil Abner, but it was in a show.
There was a Shmoo cartoon as part of the Fred and Barney show or something, which I guess is post Flintstones.
Okay.
Oh, but didn't they know they had a post show.
They never met. Okay.
Because
they had their own like magical creature on the Flintstones.
Gazoo?
Yeah, Gazoo.
Is Al Capp connected to Andy Capp? Because that's another...
That's what I was thinking, because Andy Capp is that horrible comic strip about the British guy who hates his wife.
Remember how many comics were boring, but you just read them?
Yes.
Because that's literally all you had to do as a child.
Yes. I don't care about Sally Forth.
And remember the Family Circle one that was just supposed to be charming and it was never funny?
No.
Such a ripoff. When I was a kid,
because
when I was a kid, I was like, these are supposed to be funny.
I
like funny things.
No, never once made me laugh.
And all of it was like either what was the one with all the people who had the sort of weird noses?
The Far Set?
No, and it was kind of intellectual to me.
Oh,
Doomsbury. And I was like...
Never got one of them. Never
I
understood
like,
one of those.
I don't even know what this is supposed to mean.
All I know is that George Bush was in all of them, and I was supposed to understand it, and I never understood it, never thought it was funny.
It feels like comics for vets.
Yeah.
Like veterans.
Yes.
Like veterinarians.
Yeah, it's like, who were comics even for?
I don't know.
They were never...
They were all mixed up with, like, kid ones, with, like, serious ones, with... Because there were some that were just soap opera-ish
yes.
that weren't supposed to be funny.
Yes.
Yeah, they were all together. I still liked reading them. It was fun on Sunday morning to read them in bed, but yeah, they weren't really anything good. Okay, so Shmoo started with Lil Abner.
Mm-hmm.
I should ask my dad. My dad knows all about this stuff. He'll know.
Well, find out from Walter. Get back to us. In the meantime, everyone... Like, subscribe, give us reviews. You know the jig.
Yeah.
The jig?
The jig is up.
You know the drill?
You know the deal or the drill,
yes. You know
what
we like to say at the end, which is if you like our show and you want to support it, you can do all the things.
Yes.
Like and subscribe. Go to our merch page. Go to our website. Subscribe to our newsletter.
Yes.
We're going to have more exciting announcements coming up soon. Tease.
Ooh.
But until then, do your best to
remain calm.